past week saw the release of a Pennsylvania grand jury report, which we have, by the way, on our download page on our website, on decades of sex abuse perpetrated by hundreds of Catholic priests against over 1,000 children that we know of, by the way. While the media reports about this have focused on the church, the priests, the Vatican, the cover-up, what about the victims? What have they dealt with emotionally? Is recovery even possible for individuals who have gone through this? With us now to examine those issues is a board-certified trauma psychotherapist who has worked with victims of Catholic Church sex abuse, as well as made presentations on childhood sex abuse to mental health professionals worldwide. She's also authored the book Covert Emotional Incest, The Hidden Sexual Abuse, A Story of Hope and Healing. Adina Bank Lees, how are you today, Adina?
I'm good, Chris, and like we said earlier, pretty sickened by all of this information.
Yes, indeed. Adina's website, adinabanklees.com. We have it linked over to our homepage as well. Where to start with this? I mean, again, we have the report over on our website. And I mean, just to, I guess, best illustrate the magnitude of this, the report is 1,356 pages. Over 1,000 of those pages is needed just to list the priests and everything they perpetrated. This is something that is unheard of.
I think it's unprecedented, Chris, that we have this much specific information that has been validated. And I think that's a really big thing, and I want to really applaud you and thank you for the top of what you were saying about we hear about the church, etc. What about the victims? We don't talk and pay attention to about the victims.
And even when they're referred to, it's, well, they were victims of sex with priests. No, they were victims of rape perpetrated by priests.
Thank you very much for saying it like it is.
And psychologically, I mean, just to add to it, and I could just spin the mouse wheel and it could stop land on the page, and I could read the details of what's is featured about one of these priests after another, but it seems like so often when these children went to someone in higher authority in the church, went to their parents, they weren't believed. They were told, well, that it just happened. Don't worry about it. It won't happen again. Excuse after excuse. And someone were talking 10, 12, 14-year-old kids. It's life ruination, not life impact.
Well, you know, it's huge, and one of the things that happens in a system like the church that is a closed system, which means that we don't get new information, we really don't consider that and take in evidence from other places, and we don't let anything out. And so that's a breeding ground for secrets and for people to feel like they're not going to be believed. And that's what the kids were experiencing. And you got to remember, Chris, that, you know, priests are the direct interpreters of God in the Bible, in the church. And so you're going to question God?
Well, that's certainly the line they try to pull on people, or the monsignors or the bishops try to do in their cover-up with just the fact these churches have secret files. That alone is just
exactly
wrong in more ways than could be listed in 356 pages, by the way. Just in general, what's the impact? Take us into the mind of a rape victim, a sexually abused victim, a child who's been had this evil perpetrated on them by an adult that they trust. What are the degrees of how it impacts them?
Thank you for asking that question. So very, very deep does it impact them to the, if you want to say, the core of their spirit or their soul, which means who they are, the belief about who they are is deeply ingrained about I am bad, dirty, could be I'm evil. I absolutely did something to invite this. I did something wrong, so it happened. I'm undeserving. Those kinds of toxic messages that the kid will carry around and just think about how that's going to emanate into who they are, how they behave, how they do relationship, who they get in relationship with, if they even do relationship, and the incredible disconnection to themselves and to others, and the incredible loneliness that they experience and the mistrust of others. So, you know, we know, Chris, that we need relationship, to be healthy. We need healthy, we need relationship to be healthy, and we need safe enough relationship. And when this kind of thing happens, it's like, I'm not going to trust anybody. And then when I'm alone, breeding ground, addiction, depression, anxiety, et cetera, et cetera.
Just the idea, too, of, you mentioned the word trust. How can you go through life without trusting anybody? Because trust is one of the cores of having a healthy relationship.
That's correct. And I see so many and have seen so many people over the years who say, I don't trust anybody. And one of the beginning pieces is that they begin to trust me in the therapeutic relationship. Why? Because trust equals, here's my mathematical equation that I love. So if we can see it, trust equals experience over time. There's your fraction. Experience over time. Are you doing what you're saying? Does it match? And when they see that what I say in terms of confidentiality and supporting them, et cetera, is matching my behavior, they slowly begin to trust that I am a person of their word.
I'm with Adina Bank-Lees, who is a board-certified trauma psychotherapist and author of the book Covert Emotional Incest, The Hidden Sexual Abuse, A Story of Hope and Healing. AdinaBank-Lees.com is her website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I guess the underlying impact, one of the many underlying impacts of the sexual violence that's perpetrated on these children is the fact that they are made unaware of what kind of fight they have left in them, because if they could see that all that they've had happen to them, and, well, for the most part, there are those with far tragic endings, but the fact that they haven't put a gun in their mouth or overdosed or stepped in front of a bus, that should be a sign to oneself right there, okay, I'm not dead yet. I got something left in me I can battle back with.
No question. And that is really important when I meet somebody to say, you're alive. You're a miracle. Because they are.
For those who do survive, though, yeah. How common is any sort of addiction? You know, we look for something to ease our pain, and
exactly.
for most of most people listening right now would have nothing. I shouldn't say not every person, because there could be a victim of sexual abuse from a church that's listening right now, and hopefully they're gaining something out of this. But we always look for something to ease our pain, which in comparison doesn't come close to measuring up, but these children feel or realize. So this is a pain that has to find a lot of comfort, a lot of relief, and a lot of safe ways, because there are many dangerous, easy ways to ease this pain.
Well, absolutely, Chris. And the most important safe way is to have an adult who listens, says, I believe you, and is going to take action to protect that child. And if that person is not there, what's next, right?
Yeah.
So if I can't go to, you know, an adult that I trust, my parent or somebody, what do I do? Well, I'm left to my own devices. So what's out there for me? Well, I'm going to be as creative as I can be. And we know alcohol, other drugs, because alcohol is a drug, oftentimes, because of the nature of the abuse that is sexual, what we say is it sexualizes the child, and you can see compulsive sexual behavior as a child. At times, you can see that child acting out sexually with other children, and that is a red flag. When you see that, Chris, that's saying something happened to that child, and they're acting it out, because that's what kids do. They don't have the words necessarily. They show us their pain through their behavior. And our adolescents do that also. And so, yes, addiction is extremely high risk, because we do want to medicate our feelings. So reaching out to people who are willing to listen and take action on our behalf is the healthy way. And hopefully that we have those.
And while this report reveals a lot of bad to a lot of innocent children over a lot of time, We've seen some of those survivors come forward in various media outlets telling their stories and saying how, well, yeah, it still hurts to a degree, but I'm not going to let it take me down. That hopefully those who have suffered similar events and tragedies in their lives will find that to hold on to grab for. And these are people, and certainly correct me if I'm wrong, Nadina, but you don't need, I mean, it's great to have a crowd of people by your side, but if you're alone and all of a sudden there's one person by your side, that's a monumental step forward.
Yes, it is. And Chris, the research really shows that one person who's by your side is the ingredient for what we call resilience, that I could say, you know what, I can do this. One person. And so that is a monumental step. And I also want your listeners to hear about SNAP, Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. This is an organization that's been around for quite a while. SNAPnetwork.org is the website. And so if there's anybody who's listening who has either been abused by a priest or clergy of any religion and or knows somebody, please go to that website. I can also give you the phone number. You can post it later. There is help available.
And we've had representatives of SNAP on the show frequently over the years, most recently with the revelations about Cardinal McCarrick, and one of the people from SNAP had been abused by McCarrick. So it's but for my prayers are for these victims who are hopefully going to realize what strength they do have that can never be taken away from the acts of others. And my prayer is also that those who are suffering in silence will realize they are not alone in what they experience, and they're not alone in reaching for that recovery. There are so many outlets, people like Adina and others who do work like her. I mentioned SNAP, which we have the link over at our links page as well for your use. And just remember that no matter how dark and dangerous and how empty that island you feel you're on has gotten, there's some help around that, the other side of that tree. There's assistance. There's a team ready to help you heal over that hill over there. And it's a matter of you just opening your eyes, and it might seem like a step across the canyon, but that first step is going to be followed by a lot of quicker steps that are really going to bring you out of that darkness that someone has entrapped you in by no fault of your own. Learn more about Adina's work at adinabanklees.com. Her book, again, Covert Emotional Incest, The Hidden Sexual Abuse, A Story of Hope and Healing. Adina Bank Lees, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Chris. Really appreciate it, and how you just gave your listeners and any of the victims the hope of asking for help. It is out there. Don't stop reaching out.